Hello friends and welcome back. This summer has been particularly eventful, hasn't it?
Oh yeah, I feel like we've been hardly home.
And partly there was two events where Janelle and I spoke for their, I mean, they call them either family camps or family conferences. And we have not done a lot of speaking together.
Never.
Hardly.
Like, there was maybe one small thing we did last year, and that was like...
However, we have done ministry together for over a decade, like a long time.
Right.
But we just never have stood side by side delivering a talk. And so we were asked to speak on life and family and motherhood and fatherhood and... And then so we needed some inspiration, and we'd like to share with you a book that has been partly inspiring our inspiration for our presentations.
Right. It was actually funny because it was a few weeks before we were to give a presentation, and I was kind of like just trying to get some inspiration, and a friend of mine just handed me this book. We were at her house, and it's called Parenting for Eternity.
Get back
here. Oh, sorry. Yeah. By Connor Gallagher from TAN Publications. And I have to say, she lent it to us, and it was incredible. I couldn't believe what I was reading on these pages. And so we got our own copy so that I can actually, like, write in it. And it really was kind of foundational for a lot of the presentations that we gave.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to share some of the things?
Sure. A few things were, like, just teaching your children about death, about hell, like, how they need to know about these things because they're real and it's a potential, right? So we need to know the truth. We can't shy away from it. But then also teaching about heaven. And, you know, as parents, our goal is to get our children to heaven. And yeah, that sounds like a beautiful idea, but there's actually work and deliberate effort that needs to be put into parenting in order to get our children to heaven.
I think one of his points in one of the chapters is that, of course, we want our children to heaven. That's a nice thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Who would say, no, I don't want my children going to heaven? So we can all fundamentally agree on that principle. We want to get our children to heaven. But here's the thing. I think very few people are willing to put in the work to do that.
Right.
So it's a nice thing to say, but to actually want salvation, yes, it's a free gift to us from God. It comes to us by grace, but we have to cooperate with that grace. And then we have to help our children be disposed to this grace. I just don't think they naturally all of a sudden float into heaven because concupiscence tells us we float the other way. And so do we want our children to go to heaven? Yes. Therefore, we have to be intentional about how we're raising our family.
Mm-hmm.
That's different, fundamentally different than the way the rest of the world parents children.
And it was interesting because he was talking about beauty, and I personally don't like to spend a lot of time, you know, making myself beautiful. So, like, I don't like going to a hair salon because it takes so much time. And so every once in a while, I'll dye my own hair, and it takes up a whole hour, and I just don't even like giving that time. It comes from a box. But, you know, I'm just not quite ready to let the hair go gray. Is that vain? Anyhow, but he was talking about how much effort do we spend in taking care of the bodies of our children. And he talks about how an earthly person can be incredibly beautiful in appearance, but vile. And, like, their personality and their demeanor can be very evil, right? We've seen that. We've seen very beautiful-looking people who do not live very moral lives. And he said that to get to heaven, it's almost like the contrary, where somebody who is incredibly beautiful might not get to heaven. Their soul might not be beautiful because of the way they've lived. And whereas somebody who might be very, you know, maybe not desirable in the eyes of the world may live an incredibly holy life, and therefore their body will be glorified to a degree that parallels how they live their life.
And they will be beautiful.
In
heaven for all to see for the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. From Happiness of Heaven by Father Boudreau. Hence, we see personal beauty in pagans and infidels, as well as in Christians. Beautiful persons may be very wicked, while deformed ones may be very holy. Not so after the resurrection. The more holy they have been in this life, the more beautiful and conformable to the glorious body of Jesus they shall be. So he goes on to talk about how, you know, we can invest a lot of money into taking care of the bodies of our children, going to very special doctors, making sure that they eat well, getting all the physical activity in, but not that those are bad things. But at the same time, how much effort and time are we putting in to taking care of the soul? And to the degree that we care for the soul and the holiness, the holy life that we've lived, that will then depict the degree of beauty that we will have in heaven.
When you first brought this point to my attention, I thought of the apparitions of Our Lady. And there's never been somebody who's an improved apparition where they've seen Our Lady and thought, she's kind of homely looking.
Never. They all say, she's so beautiful.
Every apparition, every visionary says, Our Lady is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Why is she beautiful? Because she's holy. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we forget in this world. She's beautiful because she's holy. She's reflecting the beauty and glory of God. And that's a lesson for us. Mm-hmm. The most beautiful in heaven are those who are mostly united to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we can put our minds to things of the world and it can skew what we see as beautiful, right?
And to acknowledge that there is a natural beauty with some people. Like, mm-hmm. Symmetry is part of... Beauty is not simply subjective. There's an objective reality to beauty. So when someone has a symmetrical face, it's more beautiful than if it's a little bit off. There's a splendor that goes with beauty. When the parts are working together as a whole, that also makes something beautiful. If something's made up of a whole bunch of parts and one of the parts is missing, it's not as beautiful if it had all the parts together. So I just want to say that there's objectively, there's something beautiful. There is a beauty within this world, but a beauty that extends into eternity. With regarding heaven, it's those who are holy.
And I think that's why sometimes when you see art that just seems like very distorted, there's something you're like, it's just hard to look at. Like, it really is hard to look at when you're like, oh, this just doesn't make sense.
Or if you go into a modern cathedral and the stained glass windows need the artist to interpret their meaning. There's something off there. If they're so chaotic that you need the artist to interpret their meaning and they don't speak of themselves, of a greater transcendence of beauty, yeah, get rid of that modern art in those cathedrals. Another topic, maybe.
Okay. Anyhow, so this book has been very helpful and we haven't even gotten halfway. I've been mulling over this book pretty much all summer and I actually restarted it. And again, I'm just relearning, yes, this is what my purpose is as a mother, as a Catholic mother, is to get these children to heaven. Nothing else. Don't let ourselves get distracted by all the other things going on. But to get our kids to heaven, that is it. And also, not just to slide into heaven, but to be great and holy saints. Because it says in here, I got to read this part. This is important. If your child is barely saved from hell, his or her glorified body will be far less glorious, less able to enjoy the pleasures of paradise than someone who led a devout and pious life. You, Dad and Mom, should spend far greater effort tending to your little one's future glorified body than his temporal body, which is nothing but black coal, compared to the diamond that awaits the soul.
So I think that we should not just settle for being barely saved. Mm-hmm. That's a real injustice towards God. It's just a squeak in. We should want to, like Our Lady, magnify the Lord. Let our soul magnify the Lord. We should want this for ourselves, but we should want this for our children. And so is it our goal just to get our children barely saved? Or do we realize that we have the opportunity to raise great saints? This is what God deserves, first off. And this is according to the dignity of the person that we are raising, who's been placed in our care. They ought to magnify the Lord in all things. They ought to do that. That's a free life where their passions are mastered, where their intellect is conformed to the truth. This is the duty of parents.
I know that one of the concerns that parents can have is that we feel completely unqualified for this job. But the truth is that God has given us every grace that we need in order to raise saints for heaven.
In our talk that we gave, I can't remember which presentation it was, yeah. But it was sometimes you look in your heart and it just feels all splintered, broken up. Mm. You don't feel very adequate as a faithful Catholic, but even more so as a good dad or a good mom. I know I feel that way. You look at, I'm splintered, I'm impatient, I'm not sometimes not as kind as I want to be, I'm not as prayerful as I want to be. I react out of pride or anger. And so the thought that came to me was that God takes the splinters of our life. And what do we need when we want to build a fire? I just built one, made one for the kids outside two nights ago. We take all the splinters of the wood, make a little teepee, and you light it, and then all of a sudden a big blaze comes forth. God, by his grace, takes the splinters of our life and our hearts and then breathes into us the Holy Spirit and ignites this fire of love. If you feel like you're all splintered up, that's the kind of person that God is looking for, to fan into flame a great love of the heart to pass on to our children. So we don't need to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an old saying, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He also takes, he's in the business of taking the ordinary and doing extraordinary things, or taking splinters and making a great fire of love.
So let's fan that flame.
So are we done?
We're done.
Okay, so hey, thanks for watching. Please comment below. Share with us what stood out to you and why. If you remember, if you want to get these emails, sorry, videos by email, head over to canandjanelle.com, and then you'll see our smiley face in your inbox every
Hopefully
Wednesday.
Hopefully smiley.
Hopefully we'll keep on smiling. But anyways, hope you're smiling. Thanks for watching.
It helps. Just put a smile and tell your face that you're happy.
It increases the face value. That's what my dad says.